Well, I've decided to come up here as well. So this is where the Bible and everything is, so I'll do that. Please sit down. Here's a question for you. When was a psalm from the Bible last at number one in the singles charts? You know, top of the pops it used to be, didn't it? Actually, this psalm was 5 weeks at number one. When was it? It was Boney M, that's right. And it was 1978, actually, May 1978, nearly 40 years ago. And which psalm was it? It was the one that we're looking at today, Psalm 137. So if you've got your Bibles there, page 639, it'd be helpful to follow it and see through. Psalm 137, actually the Boney M song, they did the first few verses of Psalm 137, more or less verbatim, and then they finished up with the last verse of Psalm 19. So it really was a biblical song, number one 40 years ago. And they sounded so happy. But the psalm is a sad psalm. So if you find it hard to pray because you're sad, this psalm may be a help. And if you can't sing the hymns because of your tears, then here is a psalm which understands. This is a psalm of sadness. It's a favourite for those of us who are crying. So verse 1 starts, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion." Because the Old Testament people of God at this time were refugees in Babylon, taken from their homes in Jerusalem, 1,000 miles away. And as they remembered Zion, the mountain on which Jerusalem is built, they cried. Homesickness and more. And they sat in the dust beside the rather sophisticated irrigation canal system in Babylon, and they cried. And being a refugee is such a difficult experience. So many refugees in our world have a terrible time. God knows. So many of the refugees are his people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, Christians running for their lives, then at the mercy of traffickers, or in a refugee camp in the middle of nowhere, a long way from home. And we've been glad as a parish church to give a gift of £10,000 recently to allow the purchase of land and the building of buildings in a place called Yidda, a large refugee camp on the Sudan-South Sudan border. 70,000 refugees, Muslims, Christians and others, who now have school books and community programs and help to work through their traumatic memories of bombs and running away. Well, that's the situation of the people of God here in Psalm 137, traumatic memories. Look at verse 7 later in the psalm. And it's interesting, it's late in the psalm that these memories are rehearsed. I think that's on purpose. But verse 7 says, "Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem's fall, how they said, 'Tear it down, tear it down.'" So the Edomites were Jerusalem's next door neighbors to the east. "And when the armies of Babylon came from further away and destroyed their city," the experience of the Old Testament people of God was made even worse by the Edomites, their neighbors, enjoying the spectacle of destruction and cheering on the attackers. You know, tear it down, tear it down. This is described more vividly in Obadiah, verses 14 to 18, and actually is one of the main purposes of that short book, Obadiah. It's so hard when people kick us, when we're down. When our next door neighbours wait until we're desperate and then make things worse? How should we react? How can we pray? In our anger and distress, what words? Well, these words are a good start. But what is it that's prayed in Psalm 137? Remember, O Lord, against them. Don't forget what they did, Lord, so that you can hold them to account for their actions. That's a good prayer. It means we don't need to let bitterness take over. Ours is not to retaliate. God's justice, at the end, is the right time for this to be addressed. Remember, O Lord, against them. It's a fair prayer and a cry for justice. Justice is a big concern of the psalmist, and for those who've suffered so brutally at the hands of the Babylonian invaders, justice looks a lot like this. May you receive what you gave out to others. That is basic justice, actually. And that's the theme of verses 8 and 9, which address what the Babylonians did when they invaded. O daughter of Babylon, you devastator, happy shall they be who pay you back what you have done to us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. Actually, the word happy is probably not the best translation here. Happy or blessed or right, all these words translate the Hebrew original. And right is probably the better word here. So it would be, right shall they be who pay you back what you have done to us. Right shall they be who take your little ones. So right, yes, in a basic, raw way, yes, because this is the prayer of a terrorized refugee. It will be raw. We might flinch from such heartfelt cries for justice from those who have been treated so brutally. But God does not flinch. It's here in his word. He will remember and bring justice. And the Lord also has another approach. He was to send his only son, Jesus, to take the sin of the world on his shoulders, and though innocent of sin himself, Jesus would take the brutal beating and death himself in order that others may find forgiveness and a new start by turning to him. The Lord has another approach to put things right, but he does not flinch when those who are wronged cry for justice. And if women and children and others have been abused sexually or in other ways, it is right to cry out for justice and to pray, remember Jesus against my attacker, and to pray out what happened if the feelings are raw, how the abuser deserves to be abused. That's a cry for justice. But we need to be careful not to take retaliation into our own hands. Vengeance is the Lord's on the last day. Remember, O Lord, against them is the thing to pray. In Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 56 and following, we see God promising to remember and bring justice against Babylon. Leaving judgment in God's hands means we need not be overwhelmed with urges for revenge and bitterness and other things which usually end up messing us up so much. We can say it to God, raw and from the heart. We can leave it with God and make a new start. Now, please note that the psalmist says these raw things at the end of the psalm. I think if the prayer had started with these raw feelings, then the psalmist might have got stuck there and not got beyond repeating those strong emotions. So say these things, but say them towards the end. That helps our praying. And we've brought them forward slightly here to show the context of this psalm. But now let's go back to verses 2 to 6, which are the main part of the psalm. Here is their problem of the moment as they sit crying in the dust by the rivers of Babylon. There in Babylon, with their guards mocking them, they just couldn't sing their favourite songs. On the willows, verse 2, there we hung up our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked us for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. The songs of Zion were the psalms which speak of how special Jerusalem is, because God's house of prayer is there. And they couldn't sing them. They just could not do it. Sometimes our difficult experiences, what we're going through, the feelings that are on our heart, mean that we just can't sing our praise songs. Sometimes the mockery of other people puts us off. We can't manage it. But we don't want to be put off. We might not be able to sing, but we don't want to be knocked off from forgetting what matters most. And so that's where it goes next in verses 4 and following. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my greatest joy. So sometimes we just can't sing. But I guess they could have sung laments, sad songs, like this one. But their captors were demanding songs of Zion, happy songs. So they just put their guitars to one side, hung them up on the trees, and cried because they just couldn't do it. Jerusalem meant too much to them. They worshipped God on this day by crying together and remembering together. And in particular, remembering where their hope was fixed. As the Old Testament people of God, their hope was fixed in Jerusalem, the city with God's temple. But for us, and this is an important understanding when we read Psalms, for us, the New Testament people of God, our hope is where? Not in the old Jerusalem, but in the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city, where all of God's people will be gathered on the last day. So we won't get sidetracked about debates about present-day Jerusalem. That's the old city, full of strife and bitterness. Our eyes are on the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city. That's where our hope is. So as Christians, we could end this psalm by saying a New Testament version of verses 4 to 6. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Well, we can sing the Lord's song anywhere. Our hope is not in a place here on this earth. And if I forget you, O New Jerusalem, the sure hope of heaven through Jesus, what he's done for us on the cross. If I forget you, O New Jerusalem, then let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set the New Jerusalem, Jesus' place for his people, above my highest joy. So there, Psalm 137 for us. And to sum up in three sentences, a song when we're crying. Lament your circumstances, yes. The tears can flow when we worship the Lord. But then remember to put your hope in the future the Lord has given, offered to his people. And only then, but importantly, tell it like it is. And cry for justice to the Lord. Which means urging the Lord to remember against those who have wronged us badly. Psalm 137. It's not a long psalm, not many words, but that's okay. Short prayers are good prayers for those who are crying. Let's pray. Thank you for your word, Lord, and how you minister to us in all sorts of ups and downs. And how you help us, Lord, to worship you, to cry out to you in all sorts of places. Please be with us where we are and help us to cry out to you. Amen.